lying. I mean, it just seems like we just stepped into the new year and here we are almost coming to a conclusion. You know, it seems like each and every year lately we've been saying, oh, we thank God that one's over. But you know what? We should give thanks for the year we've had. There's a lot of victories we had. And we need to be thankful for them victories. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we see going on. But see, we're supposed to stay focused on the Lord, as He will get us through. Yeah. Thanksgiving is described as, it says, is the expression of gratitude, especially to God. That's out of Webster's, okay? It says, a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. There it is, divine again. Directly from God. His goodness. You know, our Thanksgiving holiday celebration, it has many different dates. And it's been, I mean, you go look through the history of Thanksgiving. I mean, it actually, you know, it came back. George Washington started the whole thing. You know, he said we should have made a proclamation, but, and it seemed like it just didn't carry on. Andrew Jackson, he felt there was a problem with that. So he didn't put a proclamation in the two terms he was in. Did you know that? Yeah, it's interesting you go out through and then how they bounced. Some presidents had it two times a year. You know, would you like to have an April and then a July one? That's what they had in one year. It was, so it wasn't settled until October 3rd of 1863. That was when President Abraham Lincoln, he issued a proclamation declaring the last Thursday of November as a day of Thanksgiving. And he did this in October, but in July was the biggest battle in history, Gettysburg. Gettysburg. That was fought in July. And it's amazing the amount of men that died on the battlefield that day on both sides. It was almost an even number. Yet the Union prevailed. I mean, when you read about the history and what General Lee did, called Pickett's, the charge there, he literally sent his people out. Wide open. They had no protection. They had muskets. And they're running across the battlefield. And they were just taken out. And then the Union started going out. Once they ran out, they couldn't load fast enough. Then they started spearing each other. And that was our own nation fighting against one another. I ain't saying we're heading there, but look at this country now again. So divided. And that's why the church cannot afford to be divided. The church has to wake up to that reality. A lot of it has been happening, but a lot of it has not yet. That's why there are prophets still going out and speaking and telling people, this is what God has said. We need to unite. I'm talking to ecclesia. Not people, this is built, and someone say, oh, they get, people don't understand. It goes beyond. In here is not the church. That is the church. You and I are the church of Jesus Christ. It makes, you know, I tell you, it makes me tingle when I think of that. See, because so many people, they can't see past the end of their nose. Let me just put it that way. They can't. But anyhow, he gives a speech when he does this proclamation. And I just took this part of it out because I want you to hear it because I think it's important. It says, I do, therefore, invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with a humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. Commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purpose, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. We could almost use that as a prayer right now for this day. But my point was, even through his whole thing, he kept exemplifying God and the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this thing. He knew. And he was trying to get the country back together. But he declared that it was going to be a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Now, beneficent, it means generous. It means bountiful. God meets and supplies our needs not just abundantly, but more abundantly. Because Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all your, and I'm going to say it for you, your need. Yeah, it's our. Okay, I'll go with you, brother. Our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, I want to make sure that you understand when it says our, he's talking about yours. Yours and mine. See, because a lot of times I got to say that way so it sinks into here. Because sometimes it's got to get through here to get to here. For some reason, sometimes it gets clogged up and I got to clean it out. You know? You ever been there? Have to get it flushed out to make sure it flows? And John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. He says, I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Imagine the feeling of overflowing. Did you ever fill up a cup and not pay attention and start flowing over? You know, that's overflow. That's overflow. Can you imagine life in the overflow? That's why I like that song, Living in the Overflow. Because that's what we're supposed to be living, in the overflow. In Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. This is the Living Bible. It says, it is good to say thank you to the Lord, to sing praises to the God who is above all gods. Every morning tell him, thank you for your kindness. And every evening rejoice in all his faithfulness. Makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? Say thank you. How many times we do not say thank you? Even for the simplest things. Oh, Lord, it's pouring down rain. I need a parking place up as close as I can get to the building. Next thing you know, you got one right up by the door. You get out and don't think no more about it. You don't even say thank you, Lord. How many times do we miss the opportunities to give thanks for the simplest things? Because he's trying to show you something. He can do it no matter how little it is to how big it is. He can take care of it. Nothing's impossible for God. What he's looking for you to say is thank you. And even if you don't, you know what? He's still faithful. Even if we're not faithful to him, he is still faithful to us. Psalm 118, verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what's happening or what is not happening, we got to remind ourselves, this is the day that the Lord has made. And say, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That sounds good. So we ought to be joyful. A joyful heart is a thankful heart. Give thanks to the Lord. When Thanksgiving becomes an integral part of our lives, we will find that our attitude toward life will change. We will become more positive, gracious, humbling, and loving. You mind a kinder, more gentler Joe? A kinder, more gentler Jean? How about a kinder, more gentler John? Huh? A kinder, more gentler Eric? Ha ha, yeah. Oh, look at Lisa's like, going, yeah. Okay. Praise God. Yeah, but that's the thing. I know, you call those things to be not as they were. Okay. Well, they did it with me, and look what happened. Ask Teresa. It's gotten a lot better from where it was. And she keeps still confessing it. Hallelujah. Because, you know, sometimes the outside world can get on you, and you need a little bit of cleaning. Got to get an amen there?
Amen. Amen.
Now, the most repeated verse in the Bible is a favorite one of mine. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's repeated 44 times in the Bible. Sometimes the wording is significantly different, and in 26 instances, just the last half is provided. Usually because it is being used as a refrain associated with the whole verse that was just offered up. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, this is David, and he wrote, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good all the time and all the time God is good." Amen. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. It will last forever because he is eternal. You get that? He's eternal. And his love is eternal. Now in Psalm 136. Now, we're going to look at verses 1, 2, 3, and then 26 for that specifically by giving thanks. But this psalm, it was known as the great Hallel, Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L, Hallel, okay? And it was often recited in the temple when they took the Passover lambs and were slaying them. That's what this whole psalm. They would do that while they were sacrificing them. But, I think you needed to know that, because then that whole psalm will mean something different, more to you. And we could even recite that during Passover. Remind me, we'll do that. Okay, Holy Spirit? Thank you. But verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever." It named him. He, right there, he is good. That's what we're calling the Lord. He is good. Verse 2, "Give thanks to the God of gods, for his love endures forever." He is the God of gods. There is no other God but Jehovah. Yahweh is what we're talking about here. All other gods are dead anyhow. There are no other gods. There's only one true and living God. Verse 3, "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his love endures forever." And finishes the psalm with 26, "Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever." But if you look at that psalm, when it gets done, it says, "And gave their land as a heritage, for his love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his love endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his love endures forever." That's why when you read that whole psalm, what it's telling us, what it's talking to us about there. "Give thanks for his steadfast love that endures forever." It endures forever. Get that. See, God really loves us. God's love encompasses everything about us and everything surrounding us. What's his love got to do with anything? Yeah, I thought you'd jump on that one a lot louder. What's his love got to do with anything? Just everything is what it does. Everything. His love is what took him to the cross. Yet it was obedience, but he loved the Father so much he came here with an assignment, and he had the same love the Father had for you and me. And that's what was able to take him to that cross. Do you think he wanted to go there? I think in one way he did. But he said, man, because he could feel what we could feel. That's why he came to this earth and became flesh and blood and bone here, so he could feel what you feel. He knows what you're going through. He knows how I feel. He knows the emotions that we go through. He knows when we're feeling down and out. He knows that, but he knows how we can counteract that, and we counteract it with the Word. That's why he's given us his Word, to speak it, to decree it, and to declare it over our lives. We need to do that every day. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. "Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, you know, we need to just, you know, thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving your only begotten Son to us. Oh, hallelujah. And we're gathered together here this night, Lord God, to honor Him and to take communion in remembrance of Him. He saved us from the sentence of death, forgiving all of our sins. All of our sins. And if you screw up, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. There's nothing that can separate you from His love for you and His love for me. That is so humbling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Always be joyful. That's verse 16. Regardless of how difficult circumstances seem to be, always be joyful. Verse 17. Never stop praying. Be persistent and consistent in prayer. Maintain a faithful prayer life. And especially praying in the Spirit. Never stop praying. Verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances. That means good ones and bad ones. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Thankfulness should characterize our lives in every circumstance. Not thanks for everything, but thanks in everything. I see, we're going to come out of it. We always come out of it with the victory. We always come out of it with the victory. Always. Christ leads us in triumph. In Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, the New Living Translation, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. During the Thanksgiving holiday, we focus on our blessings and express our gratitude to God for them. But thanks should be on our lips and coming out of our mouths every day. We are to thank Him in the morning, thank Him in the noontime, thank Him when the sun goes down. See? That's what it's all about. Because it's about love. Love Him in the morning, love Him in the noontime, love Him when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise your name no matter what. Yeah. All right. Okay. What is coming out of your mouth? Let me just ask you that. What is coming out of your mouth? See, because it makes a big difference on how your day will go. You wake up saying, "For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." And watch how your day goes. Well, what happens if you hit and you stumble? Okay. Hey, well, this is still the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what we need to be doing. Be glad for each and every day that we have, because each and every day we have an opportunity to go out and get somebody back into the get somebody to the kingdom of God. Get them born again spiritual. And sometimes we got to get some of those backsliders back too. Because they had been sliding, but they didn't slid all the way down yet. We can still bring them back. Holy Spirit's in you. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the opportunities if you want to in your heart. You will have the boldness, hallelujah. In Psalm 92, or Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. See, so we need to be praising the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Psalm 100, verse 4, New Living Translation. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Amen and amen.